forever King. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, to our deacons, trustees, officers, and members, to our guests this morning. Amen. Amen. We're grateful to have you with us here today. In the midst of all that is happening, we were blessed. There was funerals all over the city. We have to comfort and be with our own on this coming Monday at 1 o'clock. But in the midst of that, God allowed us to have a wedding. Amen. To remind us that even in this season, God is still doing a new thing. God is still active in the world today. And so we do want to thank those that made Ebenezer look good on yesterday. Thank Deacon Trustee Rome. Want to thank Brother Fowler, came with Usher. Brother Moshe came and played music. And we do want to thank Deacon Street. He was doing more than he was called upon to do, but he handled it honorably. And so, amen. And so we are grateful for that. And we do look forward to tomorrow to be with the family, the Reeves family. The viewing is 12 to 12:50, and the funeral service will begin promptly at 1 o'clock. And then we'll be able to share with the Mays family on Thursday, Brother and Deacon Mays on Thursday. But this morning, we would like to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And in that sixth chapter, we want to read the first 8 verses. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying unto me, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." We read into your hearing Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We want to focus on that 8th verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Hineni," which is translated, "Here am I, send me." Our subject this morning is Hineni. Here am I. The mission here at Ebenezer is both simple and profound. It's our mission to develop Christ-like persons through life-changing experiences. But here's the truth. You cannot help someone else experience a life change if you have never had a life-changing experience yourself. And even if you've had one, you have to be able to recognize one when you see it. That's why Isaiah chapter 6 matters. Isaiah walks into the temple one way, and he walks out another. His life was forever changed. He entered with grief, instability, and uncertainty, and he leaves with clarity, cleansing, and a calling. His life had been changed. This is Isaiah's life-changing moment, and it becomes a pattern for ours as well. For you see, before Isaiah can say, "Hineni, here am I," God must first reveal himself to Isaiah. And we're told in the opening of this verse, the context, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year the bottom fell out, in the year that my world got turned upside down, in the year that all my plans turned to trash, all of my dreams were dashed, in the year that King Uzziah died." For you see, Uzziah was a good king. And for 52 years, he reigned in Judah, and there was peace. He had brought peace to his people. He had brought peace with his enemies. But now Uzziah has died and everything is about to break loose. The stability of the nation has become insecure. Isaiah's security is now broken. Morality is now thrown out the window. Civility is done with in the year that King Uzziah died. I'm assuming they'll see that Isaiah is going to the temple because he feels for himself and he feels for his people. But he also says, in that same year, in that same time, I saw the Lord. In the midst of his heartache, in the midst of his pain, in that year, I saw the Lord. You know, God don't always show up when there's roses on the pulpit. God don't always show up when it's sunny outside. God don't always show up after you graduate and got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed and your resume all put together. No, there are times when God will show up in the year that King Uzziah died. There'll be the year of your divorce, the year of your separation, the year of your surgery, the year you heard the doctor say we did all we can do. It's in that year that the Lord will show up. He shows up and Isaiah said, "I see him high and lifted up. I see him high and exalted. I see him above it all." In the midst of all of the trouble, in the midst of all of the heartache, in the midst of all of the pain, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord, and he was above it all." He wasn't caught up in it. He wasn't caught up in a corner. He wasn't caught up on a side. God was above it all. Isaiah doesn't go to the palace, the seat of political power. He doesn't go to academia, a place of intellectual power. No, he goes to the temple. And in the temple, he finds the divine presence. And in there, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. God is enthroned. God is holy. God is sovereign. God is unshaken. God is represented in this text as his train is filled the temple. In other words, what Isaiah sees is that God got it all under control. There's no space that God is not aware of. There's not a problem that God doesn't know how to fix. There's not a situation that God doesn't already know the way out. When Isaiah sees the Lord, his heart is lifted. When Isaiah sees the Lord, his spirit is ignited. When Isaiah sees the Lord, he knows that everything is going to be all right. For you see, Isaiah had a relationship with Uzziah. You know, he had the hookup. He had the connection. He could always get a job because he was related to King Uzziah. He could always get a federal job because he had a King Uzziah in his corner. Whenever he needed a bank loan, all he had to do put down on his reference, King Uzziah. King Uzziah had taken care of Isaiah, had watched over him, made sure he had the best of everything. But now King Uzziah has died. And now Isaiah has to look to the Lord. You know, it takes a hard-headed person to wait on God to take everything from you before you look up to him. Now, I realize there's people like that. The woman with the issue of blood. The scripture says that she tried everything, spent all that she had on doctors, and instead of getting better, she got worse. But when she turned it over to the Lord, you know, it just seems to me, don't get to rock bottom before you turn it over to the Lord. Don't wait till y'all at the least and the less that you have before you turn it over to the Lord. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he wasn't being served by man. He wasn't being served by people, but he was being served by angels. See, it's a blessing to us to serve the Lord. But God can still get his itinerary through with angels. God can still get his agenda passed with angels. God can still do what he needs to do with angels. He allows us just to be a part of it. Amen. Isaiah says, I see him. I see him with angels flying. They covered their face. They covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they called one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. See, there's no closet that God can't enter. There's no cabinet that God can't go in. There's no file that God can't look in. God knows your username. God knows your password. God knows your pen. God can get in and out of our business as he sees fit. Why? Because his holiness fills the earth. And upon seeing this, there is a confrontation. And once Isaiah sees God clearly, and finally sees himself clearly. When you see God for who he is, then you will see yourself for who you are. And you'll realize that you ain't all that. You'll realize that the world can get along without you. You'll realize that God uses us to bless us, but God is not ever dependent upon us. He confronts Isaiah. And Isaiah says, woe to me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. You see, Isaiah came there talking about what's wrong with the politicians. He went there to talk about what's wrong with the school system. He went there to talk about what's wrong with the business community. He went there to talk about what's wrong with the religious community. And what he found out, it was something wrong with him. See, you got to stop comparing yourself to others. You got to stop looking over your shoulder and say, well, at least I'm better than them. No, brother and sister, woe to me, for I am unclean. I am a man of unclean lips. You know, I drive on I-35 and words can pop out of my mouth just like yours. That's why I stopped taking I-35. It took too much prayer to get down I-35. I could spend that time on something else. I pray too hard on I-35. But our lips are unclean. We can get pushed in the corner. We can be prodded and upset, and bad things can come out of our lips. We too have unclean lips. And we live among a people of unclean lips. What Isaiah is saying is that our speech is off. How we talk to one another. You know, nothing worse than a humdrum Christian. Amen. You ever meet a humdrum Christian? You wonder what they're praying for. Everything, the world is falling apart. Everything is going wrong. Nothing get right. They just mean and upset. They walk in finding fault with everything. Why? Because they've heard a lot of unclean stuff. See, you go around and picking out what folk are doing wrong. All of a sudden, it'll get in you too. It'll affect you. He recognized that he was unclean. He had unclean lips. He had unclean speech. He wasn't always speaking positive. He wasn't always speaking hopeful. He wasn't always speaking that the best is yet to come. Isaiah says, woe to me, for I have unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He realized that it's something wrong with me, that the Lord got to clean me up. See, before God can use you, God has to cleanse you. Before God can use you, God has to purify you. Before God use you, he got to knock you off your beast, knock you off of your high horse, knock you off into the ground so that you can look up and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? He confronts Isaiah with his holiness. He confronts Isaiah with his sovereignty. He confronts Isaiah with his presence, and Isaiah cries out, woe is me. You know, the children of Israel, they got mad with Moses one time and said they wanted to hear from the Lord. They said, why he only talked to you? Why we all can't hear from the Lord? And they all gathered around the foot of the mountain, and the Lord decided to show up, and then all of a sudden they'd rather have Moses than speak to the Lord. He said, no, no, we need an interpreter for that guy. That's pretty tough. But we have, when we are confronted, when we come face to face with God, we have to recognize our own sinfulness. And there is no way we can cleanse ourselves. You know, I get tired of people saying when they get their life together, they're going to come to church. You can't get your life together until you come to church. That's the first step of getting your life together. Is coming to church. Your first step is getting right with the Lord. Your first step is recognize that you are unclean and only he can cleanse us. See, God cleaned his lips. I like this because he took the coal from the altar and he put it on those unclean lips. Isaiah said, my lips are unclean. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And what God cleansed was his lips. God cleaned his mouth. His problem wasn't his connections. His problem wasn't his hookups. His problem wasn't his relationship. His problem wasn't the person he was going to put down for his reference. His problem was his lips. And brothers and sisters, that's a problem today. We got loose lips, and loose lips ain't chips. And we live in a day and time. I know we type. We don't always speak, but our lips is in our social media. Our lips are in our posts. Our lips are in our Instagrams. What we are saying coming out of our mouths, our expressions are so unclean. But God, by his call, he repurposed the prophet's tongue. Isaiah's lips was the problem. Isaiah's lips becomes the instrument. The place of his confession becomes the place of his calling. When he says, my lips are unclean, God took care of that. When he says, I dwell among a people of unclean lips, God took care of that by purging the lips of Isaiah. And here's a subtle stewardship insight. What God cleans, he claims. What God restores, he repurposes. What God touches, he intends to use. The fire that cleans Isaiah's lips now fills his belly, because God purifies and God ignites. Now that Isaiah has been restored, he is ready to be released, ready to hear the call of the Lord. And the call came, whom shall I send and who will go for us? God is not asking for who is the most talented. God is not asking for who has the most gifts. God is not asking who has the most followers. He's not asking who has the most connections. He's not even asking about his experience. He is not asking about his confidence. God is able to empower us to do the assignment that he's given us. See, God doesn't call us when we're qualified. God calls us so that he may qualify us. It's God, you're not ready when for God first call. Lord knows you're not ready. It's been almost 30-something years now that the Lord called me. And I remember when he first called me, I thought he made a mistake. I said, man, my brother's down the road. I was just sleeping in his room. I'm just wearing his hand-me-downs. The man that you're looking for is down the road. You're looking for the wrong person. And the Lord called, and I talked to my fiance at the time. We talked about it, and we was like, and we worked it out. We're going to trust in the Lord. We're going to believe in the Lord. But I look back now at that little boy. I look back now at that kid from where God has brought me from. The next time God called me, I'm jumping at the chance. Ain't going to be no delay in my step. If he calls me a second or third time, I'm going to jump. Why? His growth, where God calls, he will equip you. Many of us feel like we can't do the task. We can't do the job. We can't do the assignment that God has called us to do. But if God calls you, he will equip you. And he called, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? God is simply asking, who is available for me to use? And Isaiah's response is, Hineni. Here am I. Hineni just simply means I am fully present. I am fully surrendered. I am fully available. I am willing before I even know the assignment. When God came to Abraham, Abraham said, Hineni. When God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, Moses said, Hineni. When God came calling on young Samuel, and Samuel jumped up and ran to ask Eli what to do, Eli told him, the next time you hear him call, say, Hineni. Here am I. There's a long list of saying yes to the Lord. And here Isaiah says yes to the Lord. Here am I. I am present. Use me, Lord. I am surrendered. Use me, Lord. I am available. Use me, Lord. I am willing, Lord. You can use me for your service. It simply means that I'm breaking off all my other obligations, and I'll do what you call me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. I'll be quiet when you tell me to be quiet. I'll sit down when you tell me to sit down. Lord, whatever you have me to do, I am willing to do it. The fire that fills his belly now fuels his here am I. Because God ignites you. His response is simple. Hineni. When God restores you, you can answer his call with confidence. When the Lord has touched your life, you can answer it with confidence. When God has changed your life, when God has stepped in and made a difference in your life, when he come calling, you can say, Hineni, here am I. When God restores you, you can answer with confidence. When God restores you, you know that God is still with you. And I come by today to tell you, brother and sister, our mission is still possible. Why? Because it's the Lord that makes life changes. It's the Lord that makes a difference. It is the Lord who still reveals. It's the Lord that still touches. It's the Lord that still sits high and looks low. It's the Lord who still reigns. It is the Lord stop God. There's no law that can stop God. There's no medicine that can stop God. There's no policy that can stop God. God can still go where he want to go. He can still call who he want to call. He can still touch who he want to touch. And all we have to do is be willing to say he nay knee. Here am I. Use me as you see fit. So it's not a question of whether or not God is still calling, because God is still calling us into his service. The only question is, how will we answer? And today I want to tell you the answer is simply, he nay knee. Here am I. May God bless you and may God keep you today.